prayer?
Ghosts, winds and waves.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Thank you for joining us in our conversation today as we continue to talk about events in the life of Jesus. Our story today is found in Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33.
Often we talk about Jesus being with people, with a few people, with his disciples, even a crowd of people, a multitude of people. But in today's event, we find Jesus trying to be alone.
It says in verse 22, Mary, that Jesus made his followers get into the boat.
Well, he had just fed a multitude of people. That was the feeding of the 5,000. And so we have this big crowd around, and they've been fed, they're satisfied. And then Jesus made his disciples get into that boat. He sent them off their way because he wanted to go a different way. And he took the time to disperse the crowd, say goodbye to them. And then he went to be alone with his Father. He went up onto a hill to pray. Sometimes we have to make that happen. If we wait until we just get enough time to pray, sometimes that just doesn't happen. So many other things get in the way. Actually, even people that we are trying to help can keep us from spending time with our Father. So there is a time to be with people and to help people. And Jesus had compassion on that crowd, so he saw that time. But there was also a time for him to be alone with his Father. I think that's especially true considering if you read the first part of this chapter in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had heard the news that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded. So here he's dealing with that information still. And from a human perspective, I'm sure this was troubling. You know, this was his cousin. This was a fellow preacher. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus. And man, that would have been a lot for Jesus to process. And he wanted to do that with his Father.
So Jesus is praying. The disciples are in the boat trying to make their way across to the other side. But they were having a hard time of it. It says, verse 24, the boat was having trouble because of the waves, and the wind was blowing against it. So the disciples are fighting the waves. There was wind and there were waves. They were working hard.
So they would have been rowing. In fact, in Mark, it says that's what Jesus saw. He saw them rowing really hard against that wind. So he saw that hard work going on.
Yeah, it seemed like for them it was one row forward, two rows back. They're not making really any headway. This has been going on for a while. It says between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, they were still in the boat. So they were fighting the wind and the waves for hours on end. We could say that they're probably wet, exhausted, and possibly cold. Jesus was praying, and they were being battered by the winds and the waves. And that word battered actually means tormented. It was like the water was out to get them. And it was about this time when they were tired and exhausted, cold, wet, they see this figure on the water, and they immediately believed it was a ghost.
Now, why would they even think that? Why would they think of that, you know, figure being a ghost?
Well, it was a common belief in that time period that evil spirits lived on the sea or in the sea. That was the home of evil spirits. And so they just assumed this was a ghost. And that word ghost is the only time Matthew uses this word. And it's the word phantasma. It's from where we get the word phantom. They saw a phantom or an apparition. They were afraid. And it says in verse 26, when they saw this ghost walking on the water, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" And then this figure on the water, this apparition, spoke to them real quick. And it said, "Have courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." So this ghost spoke, identified itself as Jesus.
I think possibly that in itself would have been almost as scary as seeing what they thought was a ghost, to have this quote-unquote ghost talk to them. They're already all exhausted and working so hard, and they're out in this the waves and the wind, and then this ghost talks to them. How scary is that? No wonder they were afraid.
Yeah, this ghost says, well, it's me. Me who? It didn't even say, it's Jesus. He said, it's me. Maybe they were beginning to recognize this ghost because of the voice. They recognized the voice. Right now, Matthew wants us to know that this is a fearful scene. Disciples are really afraid. They're having to fight the wind and the waves, and they've been doing that for a number of hours now. They're tired, cold, and they see this ghost, this figure walking on the water, and they're just afraid.
Even though everyone was so afraid, it's Peter that speaks up. We can kind of be hard on Peter sometimes, but he speaks up, and he's going to test this spirit, like, okay, this looks like a ghost. He's talking to us. I'm just going to give him a little test here. If you're really the Lord, then tell me to come to you on the water. That's a bit of a test.
This ghost says, come. And Peter, being Peter, jumps over the edge. He leaves the boat. And he begins to walk on the water toward Jesus.
Being Peter, when you say that, what do you mean?
In the stories about Peter, he seems to be a man of action, not a man who sits and thinks beforehand. He just says and before he thinks, or he does before he thinks. We have this happening here, too. He just says, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus says, come, and he just goes. And then he looks around. We don't know how far he got out in the water, but he starts looking around at the wind and the waves, and he is afraid, and he begins to sink. Peter is a man of action. He seems to do before he thinks, and that's good, but also that gets him into trouble.
But in this case, he began by saying, if you were the Lord, and now he says, Lord, save me. There's no doubt in his mind now. He has total faith that he is talking to Jesus, and he knows Jesus can save him. He doesn't like look back and say to the people on the boat, throw me a rope or anything like that. He knows exactly who to ask to save him. I love that about Peter. He's impetuous, but he has faith. He has faith in Jesus.
Even though Jesus says, you little faith, or your faith is small, it's still faith. And Jesus did reach out his hand, and he did rescue Peter. He did save Peter.
I wonder, really, when I'm reading that about the little faith, was he talking about when he was sinking, or was he talking about just before that when he was saying, if you are the Lord? Maybe that's the little faith, not knowing if he was real, and now he knows he's real.
It could be both. Jesus did say, why did you doubt? He didn't say, why did you fear, but why did you doubt?
Well, Jesus said, it's me. And maybe, so, Peter, why did you doubt when I said it was me?
The story ends in verse 32. When Peter and Jesus get into the boat, the wind becomes calm. So we have the ending of the story, a sense of calm. And I see in the beginning of the story in verse 22, it's a sense of calm with Jesus. And now at the very end of the story, it's calm again, even though there was a lot of fear and doubt in the middle of the story, but it's calm when the disciples are with Jesus or when Jesus is with the disciples in the boat. Those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, truly, you are the Son of God. So in the story, the disciples learn something about who Jesus is. His identity becomes more clear to them. More understandable. They're growing in their understanding of Jesus.
You know, it's also, to me, clear at the beginning that it was only when Jesus could spend alone time with his Father, when he could have that time together, after that, things were good. You know, Jesus, I had my time, I'm carrying on, And I think it was sort of like that for the disciples. You know, they were working hard. Everything was, the sea was rough. Things were hard, even got scary. But when they're with Jesus in that boat, everything's calm. Just being with God, being with Jesus, it brings a calm to all of us. And I feel that way, David. I know I need time with God. It's not enough to just be busy, doing good things, being with people, having fun times. I mean, those are all great, you know, even worshiping together with people, going to church. But that alone time with God is so important.
It's very important.
A verse that comes to mind for me is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, talking about faith. The Hebrew writer writes, "Without faith, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He is real." He's not a ghost. He's real. "Must believe that He is real and that He rewards those who truly want to find Him." It's in faith that we approach God. It's in faith that we commune with God. And, you know, just as the disciples learned to trust and have faith in Jesus, that's the kind of faith God wants us to have.
Thank you for that.
David, when I'm looking at this story, I think I've said this before, I always like to write an outline before I teach, just to make sure I've read the scripture before I go off onto the different activities in my class. Don't want to get that backwards. That's kind of the point of our whole podcast, Bible first, then the glitter and glue. So if I'm reading the Bible here, I am looking at 3 points. First of all, Jesus and the disciples go separate ways. That's in a positive sense, but that's Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. So the disciples go in a boat, Jesus goes off to pray. And then there's the whole scene of the walking on the water, and that's verses 24 through 31. And then finishing off verses 32 through 33, the calm water and worship. That's how I outlined it.
Okay. So if you were teaching children, how would you teach this lesson, or what are some of the things that will be helpful to help children to learn what is happening here in understanding this text?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that come to my mind. In Bible class, I want children to understand the meaning of the scriptures, the deeper meaning. I want them to just learn the story, but I also want them to enjoy, and there's a lot here that's enjoyable. I think with really young children, just the idea of what floats and what sinks, just having a clear container of water and then putting different things in. Little children just think that's amazing. Does a rock float? No. You know, does a plastic toy float? Yes. So you just go through different things and they find that really enjoyable. And in the same way, older children, I think, kind of get into this idea, you know, you watch a movie and they show like Jesus walking on the water or somebody walking on water. And that's a trick. Like, how do they make that look like that in the movies? And so with older children, there are a few videos online. I've put links to those. If you go to missionbibleclass.org, I have a lot of that information there. But, you know, just saying, how did they do that little trick where it makes it look like people walk on water? They'll think that's fun. But I do want to talk about faith and what that means. I want to make sure they understand that faith is a deep trust. It's believing something you don't see. Just going back to that Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's believing something even if you don't see it. It's believing in God even if we don't see Him. It's knowing that He will take care of us, knowing that whatever He says will happen because we have faith. And it's a concept that I want children to know now, because they'll build on that their whole life. Faith is something that hopefully will grow and grow in their lives. So memorizing that scripture is important, but just talking about faith and what it means. What about in the adult class?
I think it's important to use your imagination, and sometimes it's helpful to be creative. And in a class, there probably will be some people there that are more creative or artistic. This is something that you may want to try in an adult class. Maybe provide some paper, colored pencils, or paint, and just ask the class, paint this scene, and what colors would you use to paint this story? Particularly, how would you paint the color of fear? Now, you heard me correctly. How would you paint the color of fear? How would you paint that into the story here? And how would you paint the calmness of Jesus, whether he's in prayer or when he was walking on the water? How would you paint that into your picture? So that's just a little exercise in using your imagination, trying to understand.
That sounds fun, David. You're talking my language, doing those creative activities in adult class. Love it.
Another thing is for discussion. The story is really focused on Peter, his walk of faith or little faith. And Peter, as I mentioned earlier, is an example of a disciple for good and for bad. He does things that are good and sometimes he doesn't, or he says things that are right and sometimes not. Here is a statement and you finish the statement. Peter is a good disciple because, from this story here, what makes Peter a good disciple? And in addition, you can finish this statement. Peter challenges my faith because, and you finish that sentence. How does Peter challenge your faith?
That's so good, because we're so quick to talk about Peter and how little faith and everything. Where were the other disciples? They never even got out of the boat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, am I going to be the disciple that gets out there and not sure if I have it all figured out, but I know who I'm walking to? Or am I going to just be back in the boat kind of watching the show? I'm afraid sometimes I'm that person.
Of all the disciples, at least Peter got out of the boat. One other thing that would be good as far as applying this text is that in the classroom situation, this might work better in a small group situation. You could commit to one another or affirm to one another that you will do your part in lifting up your brother or sister when they're in the water sinking, whatever water that might be, but that they're not struggling alone. They're not left by themselves, but you're there to help them, to lift them up, that you will reach your hand out to grab them and to rescue them. Commit yourself to one another that way. Galatians chapter 6, and in verse 1 and 2, it says this. Brother, someone in your group might do something wrong. You who are spiritual should go to him and help make him right again. You should do this in a gentle way. Be careful. You might be tempted to sin too. Help each other with your troubles. When you do this, you truly obey the law of Christ. Now, knowing the context, he's specifically talking about spiritual struggles, but I think the application or the principle would apply to struggles that we have in our life, whether they're spiritual or emotional, mental, physical struggles, things that are going on in our life. You know, we need to reach out to our brother and sister to help them in their struggles. We are our brother's keeper.
Okay, I want to go to your class, David. That sounds like such a good discussion. Well, as I've read the story, I'm reminded again about faith in Jesus, faith in God, and how even though we don't see things clearly sometimes, we should listen when Jesus calls us, and we should go to him. And whatever that means, and look to him. And I'm inspired by that. That's the person I want to be in my life, David. And as I'm reading this, I want to share that with children, with the children that I teach. And if you're teaching children this week, I hope that this story has lit a fire in you and that you want to share that.
And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.